Little Jesus and his parents were refugees. From a cruel king came murder and terror. So they fled for their lives in the dead of the night and relied on the kindness of strangers. These words from an Australian Christmas song have been running through my head over the last few weeks. The Christmas story feels particularly relevant this year and somehow contemporary. As we hear stories of the plight of refugees and see pictures of children being carried away from violence, I see Jesus and his parents having to flee from place to place, seeking out safety. As power games are played out on our national government stage and on the global scale, I notice that the cruelty and the jealousy of King Herod and the fear that that brought in the people are a little too familiar. Yet here at the end of the Christmas story comes a tale of the outsiders showing the way and speaking the truth. Strangers who show us the way to the light. There is so much that is implied about these men from the East, or magi. And a great tale and tradition has built up around these wise men. We don't know that there were three of them, and we don't know that they were kings, but we do know that they were outsiders in this story who came following a light. These men were Gentiles, but they came seeking this child king who had his own star, who was guiding them to him. These wise men came to worship the king of the Jews, even though he wasn't their king. Here we hear echoes of the Isaiah passage we heard read this morning. A light has come in the darkness. God's glory has appeared. And the nations and kings are drawn to that brightness. They come proclaiming praise to the Lord. It feels so soon after Christmas to switch to the wise men coming and celebrating Epiphany. Some say that the story happens years after Jesus' birth, when he was a few years old. But here, on the first day of the year, still rubbing sleep from our eyes from ringing in the new year last night, we are looking to the celebration of the light coming and gifts being given. Most of us are probably a bit over gifts by now. We spent a long time buying them, wrapping them, and now that they're a week old, they're not quite as shiny and new anymore. But on Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate this coming of the light. Sometimes to recognize the light, we need to look into our own darkness. For many people, Christmas is not the warm fuzzies of Hallmark cards, of Christmas lights, and of happy families. Christmas includes things like family dramas, financial stress, mental health struggles, and deep loneliness. There is not some kind of Christmas miracle where these things go away and everyone just gets along. It's not the Facebook-curated, beautiful family having the best time together. We're still us. Life is still hard. We're still looking for meaning, hope, and happiness in a world that may seem cold and dark. My news feed is depressing, either in how plain my life feels compared to the lives of everybody else I see, or shocking and sad because of all the injustice and pain in the world that we hear of and yet feel helpless to do anything about. These systems and situations feel so big and so broken. What can I, one person, do? The time of Jesus' birth wasn't that easy either. They were occupied by Rome. Jesus' parents were on the road, fleeing and finding shelter. Matthew's telling of today's story is sandwiched between the lineage of Jesus, showing us just who Jesus is and why he's important, and the story of King Herod massacring children and infants. And he does that to save himself from his own insecurity. They were surrounded by their own darkness and struggle. And in the midst of this, these wise men go on their way, unwavering in their purpose. So let's compare the men in this story and their reactions to Jesus. King Herod was not a pleasant character. He was jealous and cruel, and his obsession with keeping power went as far as to kill off members of his own family who he thought might threaten his reign. These men from the east ask where they can find the king of the Jews. But the wise men were not looking to get some kind of insider scoop or portion of the power from this young king. They wanted to pay him homage, wanted to worship him and honor him with precious gifts. These wise men were not being pulled, seduced, or blinded by power. Their response, in contrast to Herod's, the wise men, as the outsiders, accepted and wanted to honor this child, Jesus. And Herod, the powerful insider, violently opposed Jesus. What a surprise King Herod must have had when these men from the east enter his courts asking for directions, and inadvertently letting him know that the prophecy of the coming Messiah was coming true. It's interesting, too, that the wise men finally hear about Bethlehem through Herod. Strangely enough, it is the fearful king who points the wise men along the last part of their journey and helps them to find their way. A friend of mine commented this last week that in past U.S. presidencies, the job of the preacher became very easy because there was fodder each week for their sermon. Points that happened in politics that needed to be addressed in our faith. I think maybe we're in one of those times again. Part of the Bible seems so real and relevant to me over the last few months. When I read of a fearful king who feels threatened, even by a baby, and of the people under his reign who are pulled into that fear, I feel the shiver of something familiar. Power and wealth are dancing on the main stage right now in the USA. It feels like so many are drawn into that seductive orbit. this power that they are trying to get close to gain favor, so maybe they can get some of that power and possibly some of that wealth. And it isn't even more subtle than that. This is not being hidden in back rooms, away from our eyes, but it's being paraded in front of us like some kind of carnival show. King Herod, in this story, and our leaders today, seem so far away from the king that we read about in the Psalms, who judged and was judged by how he showed righteousness and justice to the poor. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. What does light look like in this story and for us? This is our first glimpse here early in the Gospel of Matthew that all are welcome in the kingdom of God. Jesus did not come just for the powerful insiders alone, not just for those in the know, those on our side of the wall or the border. God's creation is guiding the wise men to Jesus, to worship and praise him even before he is old enough to act in any way that merits that praise or worship. Epiphany, light manifest or appearing, a time when we celebrate the coming of the light in Jesus. We celebrate the coming of the wise men because their diversity comes to enrich us. Their gifts remind us that the gift of Jesus was not given just to us, but to all people. These wise men, who were strangers in the land, take the good news of Jesus out into the world with them. These strangers make Christ known to the world. God seems to do whatever it takes to reach out and embrace all people. God announces the birth of the Messiah to shepherds through the angels on Christmas, to the wise men via a star on Epiphany, and to political and religious authorities of God's own people in and through visitors from the East. The alternative, of course, is to join Herod in not seeing God's ever-expanding embrace or feeling threatened by it and giving way to fear. Herod jealously reaches out just far enough to violently protect his place and to preserve his own power. But what impresses me about these wise men is that they did exactly what they set out to do. They followed a star, found a child, and went on their way. They came following a light, gave a message to the powerful, and accepted the help that they were offered. They went and they did what they had come to do. They set aside their power and knelt before a toddler who they recognized as significant and worthy of seeking out and worshiping. Then they listened to their dreams and they went another way. What is the message that we carry with us into 2017? How will we stay on course, remembering our purpose? We are carriers of the light, of the good news. Will we be wise with this gift that we have been given? Will we stand against the powers of the land and go the other way if we are called to? Not making a big deal about it, but just doing what we came to do and then listening for the next calling. In 2017, can we see strangers not as dangerous to our way of life, but as guides to something holy? Outsiders not as something to be feared, but as insightful friends who can tell us about who we really are when we are seeming to miss the point. Part of this invitation into this light comes through communion, where we see how close God has come to us. This baby who came in fleshy realness didn't stay far off, but became body, bone, and blood. This God who draws people to the light uses signs like stars and symbols like bread and juice. Because we are a forgetful people and we need help remembering. And this table is not just for us. This is a welcome for all people, insiders and holy outsiders. We come to this table seeking the hope that we are included and loved. We don't have to be from the right family, the right class, or the right race. We come and Jesus offers wholeness to all. This table is not a pull to power. Here we give what we have out of worship, and not to get a piece of anything in exchange for that giving. Will we stay true to our calling, even when the power of the land is looming and ominous? The second set of words that have been rattling around in my head for these past few weeks comes from an Australian poet. Hear his words and his interpretation of the Christmas story. Love is born with a dark and troubled face when hope is dead, and in the most unlikely place, love is born. Love is always, always born. This new year, I invite you to look deeply into the dark and troubled face of the stranger. May we not see something there to be feared. Look into their face and see love, the love of God for God's beloved people. Amen.